Before I begin today's Christmas Day sermon, let me take this opportunity to wish you a joyous and a blessed Christmas. Indeed, all of us need a joyful and a blessed Christmas, especially in this difficult and unsettling year of 2021. May we on this Christmas Day find God's gift of peace, joy, love and hope through this Christmas gift to us. Let us turn to God's word for today. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, as we come before you, help each and every one of us to encounter the Christmas gift, your Son, Jesus Christ, and receive him into our lives and continue on with him. So we commit this time into your hands. Through your Holy Spirit, illumine to us your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Normally on a Christmas Day sermon, you will hear about the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And in connection to that, you might hear about Mary and Joseph in the little town of Bethlehem, the city of David. You will hear about angels and shepherds, the crowded inn and the lowly manger, the bright star in the sky, and the wise men and Herod, and so on, depending on the scripture text for the year. However, for the text this year assigned, which was read to you, and I believe it is God's providence for us, you do not have any of this. Instead, you have an unusual text, and it's about an incident of the life of Jesus 12 years after Christmas, not even 12 days. So how can we have a Christmas sermon this morning? Well, we still can. This is because from the text we have been given, I would like to use it to reflect on Christmas. What is God saying to us through the words, through the thoughts, the ideas from the text that was read to us, to better understand Christmas, better appreciate Christmas, better celebrate Christmas, and better apply Christmas to our lives? So from our text, I'd like to draw four thoughts for you to reflect on regarding Christmas on this Christmas Day. Firstly, I'd like to help you to see that Christmas is real and it is more. And secondly, I'd like to help you to see that Christmas is Christ in us, and Christmas is the Son's choice. Fourthly, Christmas is the Father's love and business. Now, Christmas is real and more. From this morning's gospel text, we are told that Jesus was 12 years old, and his parents took him to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. We are not told whether this was the first time he was there, but for the parents, we were told that it was a yearly event. This shows how pious his parents were. Now, after the feast has ended, they set their way back to their home in Nazareth, about 80 miles away, which is a 3 to 4 days journey. Then we are told that after a day's journey, possibly, that in the evening, during dinner time or during sleeping time, they discovered that Jesus was not with them. They had assumed that he was traveling with them in a group, maybe among acquaintances and relatives, but he was not with them. Instead, he was missing. And they did not know about this only until now. So from the text, I like to take this to reflect on Christmas. This thought came to mind. It helps me to realize that Christmas is not just a nice, self-contained story of a cute baby, a set of proud parents, of angels and shepherds, of a manger and farm animals, of bright stars in the sky, of wise men and their gifts, and they live happily ever after, as if it is a magical world. No, Christmas is just the beginning of a real life story. The birth of a child is not the end of the story. It is just the beginning. It is real, it is more. It's full of twists and turns. Christmas does not end at the end of Christmas Day. It is just beginning and continuing. When I was young, my image of Christmas, besides all the usual things like what we have mentioned just now, the baby in the manger, the stars in the sky, Herod, the wise men, and so on, Santa Claus, Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, the snowman, Frosty the snowman, Christmas trees, presents were part of that whole picture about Christmas. And besides that, I have also the snow globe. I'm not sure whether you know what's the snow globe. Yeah, it's there. The picture is there. This snow globe really gives me a picture of a dreamy fairy tale. A few of the place of objects, of peace, of serenity, of beauty, of ideal, of life. A world that is self-contained, a world that is in a bubble of its own. Maybe sometimes this is what we imagine Christmas to be, almost being magical, sentimental, and we live happily ever after. But today's story tells us that there's more to Christmas. And there's a boy, there's a baby that became a boy, and as we read on in the Bible, and this boy became a man. And it is not a story that is ever happily ever after. Life goes on for those who have experienced Christmas. Jesus was born, and it's not the end of the story. Now, so therefore do not just start with a beautiful story of Christmas and stop there and lose sight of what is going on. Go further, go deeper in the Christmas story that is real. I remember I was in the UK attending a conference, and I was hosted by a member of a church. And this elderly man and I got together and we start talking about our faith. And at the end of it, I was so shocked by what he said to me. I referred him to the Bible and I mentioned to him about the gospel, the story of the birth of Christ and all that. And he said to me, "It is just a beautiful story. That's all." We may take Christmas to be in such manner, a beautiful story. But Christmas is real. And it is more. So today, even as you celebrate Christmas, do not stop here. Continue on and find out even more and how it applies to your life. The second thought that came out of this text today, which I applied for my reflection for Christmas, is that Christmas is Christ and us. From the text, we note that the parents of Jesus, Mary and Joseph, did not realize that Jesus was not with them. They assumed he was with them. And this is easy to do, especially when one is caught in the busyness of the festivities of the Passover and the afterglow of the celebration, buying stuff, meeting people, preparing for the meal. It's easy to lose track. And now I use this detail for our reflection for Christmas today and ask, is Christ with us in our Christmas? Well, most of us will say, yes, of course, Christ is with us. That's why we are here in church. And for those of you who are following at home, following the service at home, surely Christ is with us. He must be with us. Now, before we are too sure about this, it's good to check. As a good Singaporean, we need to double confirm. Firstly, I believe that you need to be aware of what Christ can easily be replaced by. Some obvious replacement can be the following. Instead of Christmas, it is Xmas, right? Well, sometimes the word X can refer to the letter, the Greek word chi, right? And when it is used to refer to the Greek word chi, which is a little bit like an X, it's a short form for Christ or Christos. In that, it may be okay, but yet for some people, X means X. X means Christ is crossed out from Christmas. The crossing out of Christ from Christmas is quite often and happening more and more in many areas. We are living in a world where all this are happening. So instead of Christmas holidays, we are having happy holidays. Instead of Christmas symbols, we are having new symbols or new icon. If you ride through Orchard Road, for a moment you thought that Hitachi was born on Christmas Day. So we have decorations without Christmas, but don't get me wrong. I'm not against the normal cultural Christmas decoration. As long as we are aware that they are cultural and we need to bear in mind that we are living in a cancelling culture. Be careful that we do not unwittingly cancel out Christ from Christmas. Now, regarding removing of Christmas, Christ from Christmas, it can be very subtle, it can be gradual, and it can become mainstream. You know, in the Straits Times today, it was written there, 12 reasons for Christmas. Well, one of the reasons is eggnog, the steam egg or something like that. It's not a steam egg, it's a drink. But traditions are included there as well, to their credit. Think about how Christmas is celebrated in various places. For example, in Japan, in a country that is less than 1% Christian, Christmas has a big presence there. You have the normal lights and sound and so on. But you also have this for Christmas, Kentucky Fried Chicken. For in Japan, Christmas is associated big time with Kentucky Fried Chicken. Maybe I'll show you a picture of that. Yeah. It's big time. It started in the 1970s. Now, this has been established for quite a number of years. But before we laugh at Japan, maybe we need to look at ourselves and also the West, right? Because instead of Kentucky, it is Turkey for us, right? Or for the West. So in your busyness and preparation for Christmas, in your buying and wrapping of presents, in your cleaning and decorating, pause and ask for a moment, is Christ still with you during this Christmas? Is He the center of your celebration, the reason for your celebration? Please check. Don't assume. Today, if you're uncertain about this, go to Him. Seek after Him. Take the opportunity. He's just a prayer away from you. Tomorrow, which is Sunday, it's a special service. And bring a friend along so that you may celebrate Christmas and introduce Christ to your friend. So don't celebrate Christmas without Christ. Now, the third thought that came to me from this morning text reading is this. Christmas is the son's choice. Now, how did I get this? Well, from the text, we are told that the parents of Jesus thought He would go with them back to Nazareth. But the truth is, Jesus chose to stay behind in the temple. This is what we read in verse 49. And He said, "Why were you looking for Me? Did you not know that I must be in My Father's house?" He chose to be in the temple. He was there 3 days by Himself, interacting and instructing the teachers of the law. We are told this, listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard Him were amazed at His understanding and His answers. I wonder what was He trying to tell them about Himself or about the event that had just passed by. Now, the fact that Jesus chose to remain in the temple at the cost of being separated from His parents makes me wonder about His coming to our world on Christmas Day. Was that a choice too, or no choice? Did He choose to come? Did He want to come? But Pastor, why is that important? Now let us go a little bit deeper here. Well, it's important because some critics of Christianity argue, that Christmas is the evidence of God being the greatest cosmic abuser, child abuser. To say that God sent his son to be born and to die for the sins of the world does not sit very well with some people. They see it as cosmic child abuse. Oh, the poor kid who cannot choose to be born and yet being loaded with such a mission to suffer and to die. Oh, poor little Jesus. Well, the good news is Jesus chose to be born and does so willingly. But Pastor, who can choose to be born? We cannot choose our parents. We cannot choose our birth. Well, we can't. But Jesus can. We are told of this by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. Jesus emptied himself. This means he chose to do so, to be born in the likeness of man. Christmas is the choice of the Son. To be born 2,000 years ago, to be born in a manger, to be born to Joseph and Mary, to be born in a world ravaged by sin. This is the choice of the Son. There are many occasions Jesus mentioned that no one can force him to do anything, even his own death. He chose to lay down his life. And this is what we are told in John chapter 10, verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Now, why did he choose to be born in such a situation? Well, it's because of obedience and love to the Father. This is what we hear in John chapter 14, verse 31. But do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Why did he come here? He came here because he was obedient to the Father. He loves the Father. But also more than that, it's because he loves you and me. That's why he was born. And we note that because throughout the story of the life of Jesus, we can see how he has compassion on the crowds, on the people, how he healed, how he ministered, how he helped those who are weak. So in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, we are told when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he told his disciples of this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So dear friends, Christ was the choice of the Son, the choice of Jesus. Do not forget his sacrifice. Like a lamb led to slaughter, he offered himself willingly. Galatians 1:4 tells us, he who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. He chose you. Would you choose him today, especially those that have not known him? Now we come to the last thought from the text today. And this is that Christmas is the Father's business. Christmas is the Father's love. Let's hear again what Jesus says in Luke chapter 2, verse 46. And he said to them, that is his parents who were looking for him, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Do note that this is the first recorded statement or words of Jesus from the time he was born in the gospel. These are his first words. And what did he say? Do you not know that I must be in my Father's house? The New King James Version says, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Both translations are fine. To be in the Father's house is to be in about the Father's business. Now, I find Jesus' statement here illuminating. Try to imagine what would be the first thing Jesus would say if he was able to talk as a baby. What would he say? Well, we don't know. All this will be a guess. But now we know, because the first words recorded for us is that, do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? In this sentence, he told us what Christmas is all about. Why he came, why he was born. It was about his Father's business. That's why he came, to fulfill the Father's will. Now, what is the Father's business? From the text, I think we have a clue here. Don't you find it very interesting that after the account of the birth of Jesus and his consecration, we are led immediately to the celebration of the Passover? I believe that this Passover feast is the clue to what the Father's business is all about. What is the Passover? You can read that in Exodus chapter 12, where it was first mentioned there. It was about the sacrifice, the shedding of the blood of a one-year-old unblemished lamb, so that the people of God who smeared the blood on their doorposts may be delivered from the slavery of Egypt. The Father's business is the giving of the Son as the lamb to be slain, so that people might be saved through him. His business is to save the world through the Son. And this was planned, if you read the scripture carefully, even before the foundation of the world. The Father giving, the Son willing. He gave, he sent. So we read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And in Galatians we read chapter 4 verse 4 to 5, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so we might receive adoption as sons. The Father gave, the Father sent, and his Son, the Lamb, into this fallen and broken world to be slain. So we have Christmas. Now, why did God do this? For what purpose? It is because he loves his creation. It's because he loves us. The Almighty God, the Father, the Heavenly Father, loves each and every one of us. Just soak it in for a moment, because this is what Christmas is all about. The Father loving each of you, each of everyone. So who am I that God should love me? If you ever wonder about this, just look at Christmas. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, because he wants to save us. Save us from very real danger. This year, all around, we've been hearing a lot about COVID-19. We have been hearing a lot about the turbulence that is in the world today. It's turbulent. It's not as rosy as it seems. The economy, the political situation, and so on. Russia and China and US, Ukraine, and so on. All these miseries, all this difficulty, separation, all these are just a symptom of the real thing, of the real separation of sin. God wants to save us from all this eternal condemnation and death. So God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the Father's business. This is the Father's love. This is Christmas. He gave, the Son came to accomplish all this. So, dear brothers and sisters, today is Christmas. Remember, it's real and it's more. Don't stop here, go further. Remember, it's Christ and us. Do not cancel him out. If you find him missing, go and seek him out. Do not celebrate Christmas without him. Remember, it's the Son's choice. Do not reject the sacrifice given to you. He did it willingly for you. Remember, it's the Father's business. Do not forget his love. He's calling you to come home. He longs you to be with him. Do not forget the Father's love. Let's bow our heads to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that today we can celebrate Christmas, we can understand what's it about, and we can joyfully and receive this wonderful gift of Christmas Day, the gift of your Son. You gave, and He came willingly, and we receive it joyfully. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.